agenda with the correction suggested? Minutes.
I'll second.
Okay, second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Next item is public comments. We have our usual crowd out there. So, without seeing anybody for public comments, we will move on to item 5, which is old business. First item is parking on Highway 421, follow-up from the council. I don't have any follow-up. Craig, do you have any follow-up from the council? Anybody else? I'm not sure exactly why this is on here. So,
did you go to the council?
Yes, I went to the council, and I don't remember any follow-up about parking on 421.
They kind of said they'd get back to you.
Yeah, that's exactly
that's kind of what was said in the last meeting. I was not there, but I didn't see anything in the minutes.
Nothing got back to me, no. It was on the, not April, but the March meeting, we presented it to the council, and the council said they would get back to us. But they haven't yet, so... there's no...
But we didn't say when.
Right. I would suggest then that we have this taken off our agenda for the future meetings.
Okay.
Unless we do hear something from council. All right. Item B, vacation rentals. We do have a follow-up on this one. I did present our recommendations to the council. Last time, basically two recommendations. One is the identification that there might be a problem in terms of identifying the room occupancy tax and some of the issues related to that. Also told the council that is not really a P&Z issue. It's something that they probably want to look at. I think the council was very receptive about the issue, and the information that I took away is that they were going to, you know, continue to look into that particular issue. I don't know if, Craig, you've had any further discussion about that, but I know that was of strong interest to the council, but not really a P&Z issue.
Yeah, I would tell you that there hasn't been any official discussion as a group, but they know that among us, you know, at certain times, talking about things, that this has come up. And it's, not sure what we're going to do about that. But we'll see. I would love to see a resolution go right to the county and tell them we want them to do something.
I think it's very simple.
Enforcement is theirs, or let us enforce it.
Simply have everybody identify who pays the tax by the property.
Right. I mean, that's
a pretty straightforward issue. So, but anyway, that is in the council's hand right now, but I did pass on to the council what our recommendation was.
Good work there, by the way. A lot of good information. We're lucky we get anything.
Number two was the second thing I presented to the council, which is that obviously that our decision and our vote was not to pursue a permitting process, but actually work within the existing North Carolina ordinance, which does allow a permitting process, but requires a couple things to happen. One is we have to identify violations of, there's two things. One, there has to be an ordinance passed that identifies what constitutes a violation that we are concerned about, and then we have to be able to track it so that I think it's the top 10% of that tracking device or tracking process could have a permit. And I think also it states that even if not just a 10%, it's if there's three or more violations, too. So three or more violations or 10%, the top 10%. So I presented that, and that raised two issues. Obviously, there has to be an ordinance passed by the council that would identify the sort of things that we want to track and identify. And then the second thing is the tracking process. So what it came back to us is that the council asked us to continue to look at the process and identify what North Carolina communities are doing currently under the current ordinance. And that's kind of where we stand right now. And when we left, I know that you were going to talk to the police. Did you get a chance to talk to the police?
Yes.
Okay.
He said they can filter it however we want, but they would need to know the properties because they cannot
the way that they can run the program, they can just not go, what houses have 5 violations? They need to know actual addresses, and they can pull the records from those addresses.
Okay. So, yeah, when we left, Joe said he would go ahead and talk to the police and see what they currently collect and what they can do. Obviously, one of the things that we heard from the public was that a very large percentage, if not the vast majority, of concerns about the nuisances from short-term rentals are not reported to the police. They're either not reported at all, or they're just dealt with directly with the property owner or the rental agency or whatever. So, but they do report some to the police, so they said that they could track it, but they need the property address to do it. Okay. The second thing that they asked us to do, again, as I mentioned, is to identify what other communities are doing. What I did is I did a quick Google search and found actually a very interesting thing is that many communities actually did have a permitting process prior to 2011. Okay. And I found two that Fayetteville and Asheville were the two that I found just very, very quickly. And when I got into them, they actually were very upset at the 2011 ordinance because that eliminated their permitting process. And you could see the discussions in the minutes of the council that they were upset, that they felt that the permitting process was extremely effective at eliminating the nuisances of short-term rentals, long-term rentals in the Fayetteville case and things like that. And they were quite upset that 2011 ordinance was passed that eliminated their ability to do that. Both of them appear to now be collecting data and working within the ordinance that I could find, and that would be Fayetteville and Asheville. And I stopped search. I mean, it was about a 10-minute Google search or something like that. So we've been asked to continue to look at this and identify a couple different things. One is to see what currently communities are doing to work within the ordinance. Second thing is to come up with a list of nuisances that we think should be part of an ordinance if the council were to pass an ordinance. And then the third thing is, how do we track it? So that's kind of where we left it here. So any discussion? Well, I'll throw out, I would be glad to look at, since I already did, grab a little bit, I'll be glad to look at, see what Asheville and Fayetteville are doing and come back next meeting and talk to some of the folks up there and see, how they're working within the 2011 ordinance, or statute, I said statute, the 2011 statute. I mean, they clearly are. They were really upset. I can't tell you how upset they were that statute was passed. So I believe that both of them are working within it. I can tell you right now that what Fayetteville has done is they've passed a noise ordinance that is extremely detailed, so they can track noise complaints. So they have passed a noise ordinance which identified decibels at a certain distance and everything like that, so they can actually track the complaints and have people go around and check the noise, because that's one of the problems. So, I know both of them are trying to work within the statute, and I'll be glad to come back, at least look at Asheville and Fayetteville and talk to some folks from them for our next meeting.
And I'll look at how to track.
And which one?
How to track.
Okay.
Is the noise electronically picked up, or is it just somebody calling?
They have about, I would say, 50. This is since 2011, because now they have to establish what constitutes a nuisance. And I just looked very quickly at the noise thing that was just passed. This is electronic. They have decibels, meters that people go around and stand a certain distance away from houses and things like that. And that's what they do. I'm not sure if we want to go quite there, but
I know there are some electronic monitoring on houses in Wilmington for event fire.
Right.
The town does that.
But I wondered if to get into keeping things quiet, they're using something similar to that that the town is monitoring or some organization is monitoring noise? Or is it just you go out at 8 o'clock in the morning to a particular neighborhood and stick an antenna up? Or just curious on how to gather the data.
I personally think all we need to do at this point, I don't think there's any hurry on this. I think we just need to identify communities within North Carolina that are dealing with exactly the same problem, that are trying to work within that statute that was passed, the 2011 statute, and just kind of get a collection of what different communities are doing. And I think we might find some like Fayetteville, which are being very aggressive. In fact, I also found in the Asheville discussions just in the last couple months, because, let's see, what is it? It's Asheville is trying to do something to get around that particular ordinance.
Why were the ordinances changed in 2011?
The no permitting statute was modified or amended or something.
Yeah, it was clearly the real estate lobby.
What was that statute? 168.424?
168C, I think it is. I'd have to look it up. But that's 2011, and what I have heard based upon reading the minutes of, I think it was Asheville's council, is just in the last month that the real estate industry has gotten somebody to introduce a modification to that statute saying no permitting period. Okay.
That's a powerful lobby.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame because all of these, Victory and all the others, they don't know about the nuisances, right? They talk about the beauty of them managing everything, but they don't know when it's too loud unless somebody calls. They don't know when there's too many cars unless somebody calls. And they're not going to turn themselves in, I guess.
Right. So, as communities are evidently trying to work around the statute, that Asheville has established an ordinance that defines what the nuisances are, and it's a fairly broad statute or a very broad ordinance that defines what the nuisances are. So it's pretty easy to get people caught in that. And so that's what they were talking about. A state legislator has introduced a modification to the state statute that simply will say no permitting period. And you cannot have any permitting.
Can't have that top 10% or the history.
No, I can't have the top 10%.
You need to be careful. You could bring a suit against the rental agency for people making too much noise. If there's not a sign posted in there by that rental agency, that rental agency could be held responsible for the noise.
Yeah, so I kind of, when we started this, I thought we'd be kind of the first one to, have this permitting. Now, there are a lot of communities that had permitting before 2011 that have had to get away with it because of, or do away with it because of the 2011 statute. And I didn't realize that. So anyway, I would suggest that maybe we just kind of we could all do our kind of private searching on the web and identify different communities. I'll do Asheville and Fayetteville because I've already identified them, but if other people just want to find them.
What did you use for your Google search?
My Google search, I think I searched just
rental permits.
North Carolina rental properties permitting, and then I think I punched in that statute number 2. And that's how I ended up with minutes and things like that coming out, and that started me on the discussion.
That's interesting.
Is that okay with everybody? I don't know if we need to have a vote on this. It's not that. It's just we come back and we all try to identify some communities that are already trying to address this problem. Okay. Excess parking and rentals, that's kind of carrying over from last time too. I'm not sure how that's different from parking on Highway 421.
Would it be considered one of the real properties, the houses back in the neighborhood, as opposed to parking on the side of the road on 421?
I think 421 was very specific about the end of 421. We talked about part of the permitting on the rental situation, and granted, that end had rentals, but where the lady said there's 30 cars parked across the street from her and parked in overflow parking where it's not allowed and things like that. The parking at rental properties is bigger than just 421.
I think probably number three will feed into our discussion next month about what nuisances various communities are identifying. And I'm sure that's one of them, you know, noise, excess parking, and stuff like that. Any further discussion on old business, item B? Any new business? The only thing, I'm not sure if this is really new business, it was new business in our last meeting, but John, you said, you know, I kind of raised the idea of illegal manufacturing operation. Did you do any? You said you like investigate. I've stopped reporting.
I looked around a little bit. I don't know where they're at. I have no idea. Okay. I mean, I drive up every street just about every single day. And it doesn't have an address in the newspaper. No. The guy's name. That's it.
They'll be at the Kellen Beach Farm, which market? May 16th.
I don't think it's important. It's just that, you know, it's just one of the things that we might want to have. Keep an eye on.
As long as they're not bringing clients to the house, it's not something I would normally really probably address unless I got complaints from homeowners.
Or emitting smells or... Okay. All right. Any other new business? Member items. Clarification of what council defines as an alternate member. That actually came, I raised the issue in terms of the council when they were talking about an alternate member that... There are really two ways of looking at this, and I'm not sure if the council, well, I do know, because the ordinance was just passed in the last meeting that was quite clear. I believe the town attorney put it together. And an alternate member is somebody who isn't here to replace somebody who might be absent for a particular meeting, but if somebody leaves the commission, that they don't have to go back and do the interviewing process. And so the alternate member who's appointed for that is if one of us leaves, that person then would become the alternate.
So they fill the vacancy.
Right, so they fill the vacancy, and that's the definition of an alternate member, rather than like a board of adjustment that has an alternate member
right.
in case somebody is not there for a particular time period.
It's a floating seat.
Right. So that's clarification, and that's all been resolved and has been voted upon by the council. B is kind of interesting. Did everybody get the letter as an attachment to an email? Oh, maybe only I got it.
What?
Review of ordinance related to planting. Oh, that's planting. No, I guess there's another item, which is the somebody's going to request a change of the ordinance related to something that...
Yes. We've got a text amendment request.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That will be on the agenda for next month.
But you want to chat about it tonight.
Not necessarily.
No, you don't want to?
I just seem not to speak about it at all so that these people can't come back and say that the decision was pre-made.
Okay.
Staff has talked about it amongst themselves and everything seems organized and...
The only reason I bring it up is I'm pretty sure on the email that I got said that even though it's going to be on the calendar for next time, that there's something that they wanted to have introduced for tonight's meeting.
No.
On the calendar for our meeting next time?
No.
I didn't see that on
the calendar. I can swear. Somebody need...
Hold on just a minute. I'll tell you.
That was sent to me? There's something about reference to tonight's meeting. And I apologize, I came from another meeting, didn't have time to go and print it off, so. Yeah, and I think we should be careful about that because this may involve a lawsuit, so if...
Well, they dropped the lawsuit. This is going to go. Bottom line, I don't want them to come back. If they don't get what they want, I don't want them to come back and listen to our minutes from the meeting and say that I was lobbying to the P&Z Commission not to have this passed, because I certainly am not and have not done any of that.
Right. What I would like to do then is I would like to look at my email that I got because
all this says is I received a request for text amendment to the code of ordinances on May 4th. This means a 20-day requirement will be scheduled for June 3rd, PNZ. Josie, please add to the June agenda. That was from Nancy Avery to you, me, Josie.
There's nothing about tonight's?
Jim.
That's the email I got.
Their concern was that they would get on the agenda for next month. They wanted to make sure that they hit that deadline because we specifically said they need 20 working days to get on the agenda. And that's probably what she was saying. She got it in, I think, on the 4th, which was like 2 days before the deadline.
Okay.
So
I
they
mean,
said,
if
we
you're reading
want
the same
make
email,
sure.
email that I was copying on, that's fine. I could swear there was a reference to tonight's May 6th.
They had made an inquiry about 15 days ago or so about doing this, and we told them that it wouldn't work for the May meeting, that they'd have to do it for June.
Okay.
That's the only other thing I can think of.
All right. Okay. So obviously nobody's here, so we're going to bring that up.
This may be. This is the note I got on my. Say, we want to be heard before PZ at June, so it was received May 4th. So they just
wanted to make
sure they hit their 20 days.
Somebody's going to come to June and lobby us for a particular
This is all.
Yeah. But if they don't get what they want, they're going to...
No. I mean,
but I pressured y'all to do what I wanted. I'll put $10,000 on it right now.
Sounds like it.
It's on the May 6th.
I can't say you still have it.
All right. I must be mistaken. That's what it's good. All right, and B is review of ordinance related to planting in the town right-of-way and parking in residential areas. And I'm not sure if we put that on.
Yeah, I request it.
Okay.
Do we have some? Do we have a copy of planting in the right-of-way? Is there actually an audience for that?
There is.
What's the number on
it? It's 14.7.
What is it?
14.7. You have a code book yet, yeah, Bill?
Sir?
Do you have a code book yet?
I do.
Okay.
I hear it real well.
What's the pass? Well, that's paper. I don't know what it is. No, I'm still gonna check my email. I'm sorry.
We can discuss it if you want to.
I don't want to discuss anything. I thought there was something that said May 6th for us to do on that email that I got. But I got probably the exact same one copy that you had. So I must be mistaken.
Sure, there's a story that goes with this review.
This is a long.
No,
with this story?
I'm talking about the planting right now.
What's the story?
It's 14.7D now.
7D?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Is it lengthy, Josh? Or is it something we can all hear?
Would you like me to read it?
I think the attorney.
Yes, you do. Please. Okay. It shall be unlawful to plant any trees, shrubs, flowers, or bushes of any type on any public street, right-of-way, property, or public place without first having obtained a permit from the building inspector or enforcement officer, who shall require the adjoining landowners to execute an agreement with the town that the public property shall remain the public's property, and that such landowner shall maintain the right-of-way adjoining the landowner. that the permit show that the permit issued by the building inspector code enforcement officer should not be an open permit for planning. That is, each planning shall require approval of the building inspector code enforcement officer.
Thank you. Okay, Alan, put this on.
The issue is that over the years, the issue of planning on the right of way is you could plant in front of it, you had to leave most of the right of way open for parking. Because the right of way is parking. That's the way I always understood it.
Right away is there for public maintenance to public utilities, and then obviously if you need to pull over for park, yes.
So for years, it was always either plant a little bit in front of the, if you had a fence out there or if you had the other property. But it seems like it's encroaching quite a bit up. So I just wanted to clarify what do you want to say? I mean, are we allowing everybody to plant the right away? Or
no, I do have actually an approval process that I go through. It's not often that happens. Usually people just go out there and plant what they want. Most of the time, if I swing by, they'll pull it up and deal with it. Anyway, I do have an approval process. Typically, if it's something that's relatively low to the ground that you can still drive over, I'll allow it. And most of that is some of those the creeping moss type bushes and then flowers and things like that. Recently over there at Sea Watch, they just did all that major planting over there. Apparently that fence is not quite on the property line. It's about 4 feet off the property line. And I actually had DOT come in and review what they did, and DOT approved everything that they did. 421 is where we have a lot of problems there.
Well, I mean, I guess that would be the main. I mean, because most of in the residential areas, by the time you put your driveway cuts in, there really isn't much left anyway.
Right.
On either side of a driveway on a 50-foot lot. But it's when you got in front of subdivisions and stuff like that on 421, if you're going
to... We actually just had another request from Tree by the Sea to put in a bunch of palm trees and things like that. They're going to come to council to ask permission for it, and we mitigated that by saying, let's just ask your adjoining property owners there at the end of the road, see if you can just put the bushes and your palm trees in there, and that way it kind of ties in the neighborhood, and that's exactly what they did.
Do you have an issue in terms of a specific problem or concern?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I had an issue with the Sea Watch property when they came to a meeting talking about parking on 421 and not allowing it, and then they come up with a landscape plan. And
I agree.
Basically planted it to stop.
I agree, and the reality of it was that most of what they planted was on their property, believe it or not.
Okay.
I didn't realize that property line came out that far. Did you know, John?
No, I don't.
So that isn't that. That's
I'm not part of their board.
It's not. In fact, there was only one palm tree that was very close to the property line, but DOT signed off on it. So I'll let it be.
So you actually do watch out for that?
All the time.
Okay.
I mean that is, because big stretches like that is public parking.
Oh yeah, in that case. What they did was take away all the rest of their property. Now, since they have the turning lane, they're not going to have that issue there as much. You can't blame them for doing it, but it was on their property.
Well, it just opens up the door for
those people say they can do it.
Subdivisions or whatever else is going on. And DOT, it really doesn't matter what DOT says. I mean, they have...
I've never really dealt with them on this issue before, and this particular one, I called them up, and I figured I'd let them be the bad guys.
Well, I was told a few years back that when you talk to DOT, they don't want anything in the park.
They don't.
Right. Where I was laying grass, and
that's where I was getting ready to go with that. When I called them and told them what was going on, they were down immediately. Of course, that was when all that paving was going on also.
Yeah.
But yeah, they don't want anything in that right away at all.
And they signed off because it was mostly on the property.
It was mostly on the property, yes. Okay, well, so if another subdivision or wherever comes up and they want, they start planting the right of way, then is that on your all's agenda?
It's not, wasn't. It might be something worth looking into.
Well, you just told me a minute ago y'all were about to spend $200,000 on a new landscape.
Yeah, but believe it or not, it was actually inside the. It was actually inside the end of buildings.
Okay.
We weren't thinking we had nothing to do out there, so this just came up. Now I need to find everyone's property line.
Well, normally it's a 13-foot. Most areas it's a 13-foot right of way.
And then it's a worse
side. Well, yeah, but some, you know, the ones that have the 3-foot right of way, you can't park on a 3-foot right of way.
15 feet of center line.
Sometimes it's, I don't know, when we measure different ones, it's usually 13 to the property line.
That's a 90-foot right of way there.
Okay.
Hypothetically, the road is in the middle of that right of way.
But it's not.
It's not always the case.
What about right-of-ways on little residential streets around here? I mean, there's right-of-ways there, too, but, I mean, people plant all the time in the front yard.
Yeah, they do. I have to go in there and tell them to take them out all the time, unless it's just something small, and then I'll just let it be. Okay.
So, well, my concern about DOT is when you leave it up to them, just like when they, remember the road diet in Carolina Beach?
Yep.
And then people didn't like the parking behind the bike path, behind the parked cars, and they finally came out and said, they look at bicyclists as the same way they do as a 6,000-pound SUV, and there are motorists on the road. So, DOT's got some weird ways of interpreting things. I mean, one minute they don't want the right way, but then they'll say, yeah, so we say that it all has to be approved, right? If anybody's going to plant the right of way,
yes,
they have to come to the town and plant it. And it has to be.
Yes, sir.
But if it's on their property, it's not a problem.
If it's on their property, it's like anything else. Okay. Well, that clarifies that, I would say, because that's on their property then. So that's.
It surprised me, too.
Okay.
Well, some of the properties that are controlled by HOAs, not just the right of way part. But some of the HOA rules have planting restrictions
sure.
on your property.
Yes.
Okay, Alan, you have a second. I mean, does this cover the way this is written? It sounds like you won with the 2 weeks.
Well, we had talked about, you had mentioned something about maybe bringing up the parking again. That's kind of why I put it on the agenda. I didn't know, do we need to review residential parking?
Well, the parking, because we talked about that before, and we were looking at some of the parking issues in residential areas, and there's not a lot of restrictions. I believe there's a code, a little paragraph in it, but basically says that.
It's 19339.
Well, when we originally addressed the parking, it was for density.
Density, yes. I can give a quick overview. About 6 years ago, our minimum parking requirements for residential 1 and 2 family dwellings were 2 parking spots for the first 4 bedrooms. Every additional bedroom required an additional parking space. Well, we changed that to 2 parking spaces for the first 3 bedrooms. And that's helped out a considerable amount. I brought it up to Alan before just because of the duplexes that are going in. A lot of them are being built with 3 bedrooms on each side. They're meeting parking requirements and this and that, but they have a large area, usually on the first floor, the ground floor, that sometimes gets converted to additional bedrooms. Well, then we have parking issues. If I know about it and I permit it, then I make sure the parking is there. But most of the time, this is done on the weekends by my managers or their friends. And next thing you know, that building is non-conforming as far as their parking requirements. So I mentioned to Alan about being more restrictive on duplexes, mainly because there's not enough room on the lots for their driveways and a large duplex. The other part of that is in our ordinance, it defines what a parking space is, and it defines it as 9 feet by 20 feet. That's a pretty large parking space. Carolina Beach defines theirs as 8 by 18. I haven't checked on other municipalities, but not sure we want to make it smaller, but the thing that I hear all the time is, I can't believe y'all require a 9 by 20. That's huge. Contractors.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you got a 20-foot setback in the front.
Yes.
You got 50 by 100 lots. Most of the houses are filling up for them, are built on the 20 to 21-foot setback line.
Yes.
So you're only going to, even if you reduce it to 18 feet, you're only getting one car there anyway.
Right.
So 18 to 20 really doesn't matter.
I've heard that it helps as far as the garage is concerned.
Okay. A garage can't be much smaller than 20 feet.
I'm just telling you what I've been told.
I mean, an 18-foot garage really isn't a garage.
I mean, that's not the big issue. Yeah. The big issue to me is the
conversion.
The duplexes that are being built.
Well, it also has, again, I'm thinking about the budgetary issue, because if they're converting it and it, quote, is a bedroom that satisfies kind of the bedroom requirements, that there's a window and there's a closet in there, they should be taxed as a 5-bedroom rather than a 4-bedroom house, or a 4-bedroom house instead of a 3-bedroom.
And that's another reason that permitting exists.
Right.
But if I don't know that it's going on,
they're not going to get taxed.
Correct.
Can we create a parking ordinance for just duplexes?
Sure we can.
Yeah, you got that door. You got broad parking.
Would that apply to condos?
No, condos are a separate parking requirement. And condos are required to have 2 parking spaces for the first 2 bedrooms.
Because the way that single family zonings are here, actually duplexes are allowed on the single family zone here. Aren't they? And residential single family? I thought duplexes were allowed there.
No, sir.
Okay.
The zoning has to allow for you to put that 2-family building on that property.
So we could specifically have a separate parking requirement for duplexes.
Right now, the parking requirement that I just told you, which is 2 parking spaces for the first three bedrooms and 1 for each additional, that is for 1 or 2 family units.
So if they come to you, John, for a permit to add to the home, then you know to enforce that.
Absolutely.
If they don't ask for a permit, then you...
I don't know that it's happening.
You know to enforce it.
Yeah, but if you ever get caught, it's sure a mess for them.
It has happened.
What do you do? Just backdate it and get the permit? Or if you
I'll put a stop work order on. I'll make them submit what their plans are. I have specifically a drawing showing the parking. And then I'll issue a permit.
What's the parking requirement for a single house? Is it
2 parking spaces for the first 3 bedrooms?
And then 1 after for each bedroom after that?
Yes.
So if you had a 5-bedroom, that would be 4 parking spaces?
Yes.
Now,
two in the garage?
Yes.
Okay.
Then you can have a 36.
And then 2 on the driveway.
You can have a 36 driveway, right?
36 feet wide driveway.
You can have 3 across the driveway, so
4.
4, that's right. Okay. If you do a full 36-foot driveway.
Any recommendation since you put this on? Anything you want to do regarding this, or you just want to...
Well, I mean, I just talk about it, you know. Johnson wants to deal with it.
I'm asking if y'all want to look at it. You know, it's an issue to, I won't say a fight, but, you know, the guys that are coming in building these large houses on the oceanfront are a problem. And also, of course, the duplexes. Our lots just aren't big enough to accommodate how many bedrooms they're trying to put in there.
What do you recommend?
I don't know what to recommend. Alan and I have talked about it in the office numerous times. I don't really know what to recommend. I just think it's something that we should look at, maybe investigate more.
I mean, Would you want to have it put on our regular agenda to discuss? But I think we need to have some guidance in terms of what we're discussing, because we're discussing it right now. So are we looking at making them larger, making them smaller, increasing the number of requirements specifically for condos or townhomes?
I don't know if we need to mess with the condo and the townhome, because what are the chances of that?
That's not going to be an issue. Those parking requirements, the way multiple family dwellings are, you have to have a parking space for each bedroom, period.
Okay.
Those aren't the issue.
So I'm all for putting it on the agenda, but I think we need a little more guidance in terms of what we're going to be looking at.
We've got so many site plans and stuff. I mean, I could look into if you're thinking about reducing the size. I don't think that does any good.
It may not. I just thought I'd throw it out there.
I mean, I could look into that part of it as far as, you know, making it similar to what Carolina Beach does.
I thought your concern was kind of the opposite, was to maybe make it more strict because of some of the mega houses that are being built, and so reducing it would make it easier for them to...
Not necessarily, because as Alan said, they're building right up to the 20-foot setback anyway. And so they can't fit another car in 2 feet of room that they have there. So the reason I brought up the 8x18 was because I've been told that the garage sizes are typically around 18 to 19 feet. And so when I tell them they have to be 20 feet in depth, then they have to redesign that whole bottom part of the house. Not a big issue to me. I just thought I'd bring it up.
John, is there a rating for driveways? Like you said, if it's 36 feet, can have no more than 4 vehicles.
That's all it's going to be.
I was just wondering if there's a rating that you could say based on this and based on that, you're rated for 4 vehicles. You got more than 4 vehicles, you're in violation.
Well, I think it's all determined by width and the definition of parking spaces.
Well, that goes back to when you bring that up, we're talking about the weekly rentals and over parking at that point.
Right.
So, no, there's nothing that I can attach in there.
We're basically talking about the density issue of multiple bits.
Whatever we do is going to affect the long-term property owner and the long-term resident, though. That's the only concern there.
Shall we put it on our regular agenda for next month? Then you were gonna kind of look, check some site plans to see.
I mean, I can look into that part of it. Well, I guess the other thing is, you want to just address the duplex issue, or do you want to do the whole part?
I think residential is fine for the most part until you get on the oceanfront,
which isn't a whole lot like that, don't worry.
That's correct. I think the big problem is our duplexes.
John, when you convert, like you were saying, a duplex, how many bedrooms do you end up with typically?
I had one that I permitted a couple of months ago that had 6 bedrooms per side, and their plot plan showed 2 parking spaces per side. So, this is everyday stuff right here. I'm just giving you a for instance. So, I made them change the plans, take every bit of the 2 bedrooms out from downstairs,
right.
Make the garage larger, and show me a larger concrete pad for their parking.
And
so when I go out there to do the final inspection, what's going to happen is that's going to be finished off as a rec room.
Right.
Which will be a bedroom 2 months later.
It's going to be a bedroom no matter what. All they're going to do is put 2 sets of bunk beds in there.
Yeah, if you had your druthers, is there something that would work to fix that problem for you? Is it reducing the definition of a parking space?
It's not a problem for me.
I
feel like it's a problem for the town, and that's why I bring it up.
Do you see?
I think it would be in the best interest of the town to treat them as a multiple family dwelling. Mm-hmm. Thereby increasing their parking requirements. I don't know. How does the town want to go as far as duplexes being built? Do we want more duplexes? Do we mind duplexes?
I see what you're saying. In other words, you could...
I don't know if that's the right way to approach that or not.
No, I think that's fair. There's nobody in the audience, you could say.
I think the whole
still recorded.
I think the whole idea that with a land use plan, where we had to address the floor area ratio and the density, well, the density, they wanted us to do floor area ratio. We couldn't do that because of the 50 by 100 lots. So we tried to fix the density by the parking. And I thought it would have curved the giant duplex that were being built. But then obviously...
It's helped
a lot.
It has.
Can we limit the number of bedrooms in a duplex?
So, multifamily is one parking space per bedroom?
Yes.
So, one, just make sure we're all communicating here, one, not a suggestion, but one, you could include duplexes as multifamily, therefore requiring a duplex to have one per bedroom, therefore making the developer choose which way the developer wanted to go with that requirement.
Sure.
Okay.
And maybe if they did a three bedroom.
That'd be tough. I mean, I think of the duplexes over there in Curie Beach. I mean, it's...
Well, a lot of them are big. I've got two that are going on right now that are three bedroom apiece. And he has no plans, nor do I think there's ever going to be a bedroom downstairs in that finished rec room. He's got a nice duplex design. It's kind of a small, just a...
And you have two parking spaces for it. Yeah. Okay.
It works for him fine. Some of the bigger ones, you know. And I don't know. I'm not trying to single out duplexes or anything. I'll have the realtor.
Headline.
I'm going to say fish.
All right. Well, Al, do you want to put this on our agenda for next item and do some investigation and continue the discussion?
Yeah, I'll look at the...
Okay.
See what
so, I'm not sure if we need a motion. Do we need a motion to put something on the agenda?
I don't think so.
Okay, so we'll just put review of ordinance related to...
So you'll just...
Park into... it's not really parking in residential areas. At first when I read this, I thought you were talking about people parking on the streets.
No.
But you're talking about parking in...
It's a ratio of parking.
Okay.
Parking to bedroom. It's basically a ratio of parking and bedroom.
Sure. That's what you
want. Yeah, okay, so we'll put it on as a regular agenda item as the review of ordinance related to residential parking ratios. How's that?
Yeah. Well, that is an interesting concept. We could start doing the parking based off your square footage.
Get you away from that formula.
Okay, let's talk about that later.
Yeah, that's on next month's agenda. Okay?
I hadn't even thought about that.
All right, are there any other member items? Any other member items?
I don't know if it's a comment, but the old fish tabs property, next to see one.
Yes.
When are they coming back for?
After they do the infrastructure.
Okay.
If they don't do the infrastructure first, then they have to secure a bond for that work before we can approve that final plat. So they are continuing with that infrastructure prior to asking for the final plat approval.
So you think that's the next couple of months or something?
They started about 3 weeks later than they had hoped to, so that's probably going to be July, but maybe most likely August.
Do you have a time requirement for submitting a final after a preliminary
sign? I can't remember what it is.
But it's not important. No, it's a year.
I think it's a year.
Yeah, that's what standard is.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn? Okay, so a second.
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.